people that we are as we spend more time together. And it's that quality that brings us closer together as family. What Jesus says is, it's not who your physical relations, you know, your family relations are with in that sense. It's who is obeying God. It's who is doing the will of the Father. That's what creates family. And so if we get together outside the assemblies or in the assemblies or in whatever circumstance, it's doing the will of the Father that creates family and that makes that climate where we'll draw closer to one another. Jesus, again, as we've said in several of our lessons in Luke chapter 18, in verse 28, Peter asked him, or said to him, "See, we've left all and followed you." Jesus had been talking about the cost of discipleship. And he says to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." God, Jesus promises us, if we will give ourselves completely to His service, if we'll dedicate our lives to doing His will, sacrificing for Him, that we're going to have a big, wonderful family in this life. And the basis of that family relationship is, again, doing the Father's will. We saw that in Matthew 12 and verse 50, and I think it comes up again in a place like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, where Paul says that we are the household of God. We are God's family, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Think about what he means there. We are the household of God. We're the family of God. We're built on what? The apostles and prophets. Does he mean that we're built on them as people? I don't think so. I think he means that we're built on them regarding their work in sharing, giving us, revealing to us God's Word. And as we follow God's Word, that's what the family's built on. It's built on Christ as the chief cornerstone and the work of the apostles and prophets in giving us God's Word. And when we're on top of that, then we build God's family together. That, I think, is the figure that Paul is intending there. Membership in the family is demonstrated by doing what is right. You are a child of God and you demonstrate yourself to be part of the family of God when you do the right thing. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Guess what that means? You're a member of the family. You demonstrate that by practicing righteousness. And our spiritual family relationship is dependent, another way of saying it, on walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, our spiritual family relationship, what are we saying? We want to be close together? Let's do the Father's will. Let's do the right thing when we're together. And when we're separate, as far as that goes, let's walk in the light. When we do those things, we'll be closer and closer all along the way. It's all maintained by a loving obedience to our Father. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. That's our family, right? How do we know we love each other? How do we know we're really close? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Doing what God said, that creates this climate of family. When I don't walk in the light and become a stumbling block to my brother, I am virtually screaming by those actions, "I do not love you." And so, again, we're together outside the assemblies, or we try to form relationships with one another and work together as family in the church, and one or more of us is stinking like a skunk in our spiritual behavior relative to doing the will of God. We're not obeying the Father. We're not going to be close. We are not going to be close. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. I think that's a verse we sometimes just gloss over. We get the first part because that's repeated so much in 1 John, that concept in one way or another. John's telling us that if we love one another and we love God, we're going to walk in the light, we're going to abide in the light. But this idea, the last part of that, there's no cause for stumbling. What I believe he's saying is, if I love God, if I love my brother, right, in the family, that's who he's talking about, then there's not going to be any reason as my brother looks at my life and we interact with one another, there's not ever going to be a reason for him to stumble because of me. I'm not going to set temptation in his way. I'm not going to be a temptation to him. I'm not going to do things that cause him to be offended and cause him to stumble. I'm not going to do things that set a bad example before him. I'm not going to do things that aggravate him to such a point that some friction occurs between us over things that are, whether they're doctrinal or not. We'll work them out. There's no cause for stumbling. Get it? There's no cause for stumbling in a brother who loves you. Can you get that out of that verse? Now, those are some general parameters for creating a climate in the Lord's church where we'll be closer, like family. Disobedience doesn't foster closeness. Disobedience to our God will foster alienation from those who are obedient. Consider what the psalmist says in Psalm 69 and verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. What's he talking about? He's talking about a situation where in his family, he is alienated. He's not close to his family. What's the problem? Read the end of the verse. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up. The implication is he was zealous for doing what God wanted him to do. He was zealous for his father's will, but nobody else was going with him. Nobody else was, you know, down with that, so to speak. And so there's this wedge that's driven between somebody who's zealous to do God's will and excited about serving the Lord and wanting to obey the commands and the rest of the family who could care less about all of that. Rather than being close, he becomes an alien to them because of his zeal for the Lord's house. I hope you're seeing the difficulty and the problem as it occurs. So what we'd like to do in the rest of the lesson is go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and also a little bit into chapter 6. And I referenced this some in the lesson this morning. I said I'd go back to it tonight. And this is, I think, a really key passage in just understanding what the life of a Christian is supposed to be, both on a, if you will, a theoretical level and a practical level. It merges all of that together in such a wonderful way, gives us some very practical instruction about how we're to live as the family of God. It tells us what the Father's will is for us. And so it opens up, be imitators of God as dear children. We're talking about a family here, right? Imitate God, a Father, as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of God. Now, the sons of disobedience. The children who have fractured God's family. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You can't act like the sons of disobedience when you're a child of God. It won't foster closeness in the family of God. you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We'll look at some more of these verses in a minute, but let's stop here to make some comparisons. The Father's will, among other things in this text, is, again, our Father's will, is that fornication, sexual immorality, not be named among us. Certainly, sexual immorality is a sin that Christians are capable of committing. When that's done, and true repentance takes place, and forgiveness is sought and found, we rejoice. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a climate in which there are those who are sexually immoral, and maybe they do it on the down low, and maybe it's kind of known about, but in either case, is tolerated. Paul says, let it not be named. When it is named, when it's something that's going on, what's going to happen to God's family? We're going to be close. It's going to be hard. We've got people, you know, over here trying to maintain sexual purity, do what God wants them to. People over here who have gone off in one way or another to do things that are immoral and ungodly with their bodies. There's not going to be any closeness there. There can't be. See the point? Uncleanness is not to be named. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this because uncleanness, I believe, is one of those words, the passage I mentioned a minute ago, we might just kind of gloss over that, not really conceiving of what uncleanness is. I'm not sure that most of us have a very clear idea of what the Bible means when it talks about uncleanness. And that's rather sad because we're facing it all of the time in our culture. A lot that we've had to talk about in the last few months regarding some of the problems in our culture could well be described as uncleanness. And I think you'll see that if we'll just look at maybe a couple of other references. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. And as you're turning there, I'll just tell you that literally, in the Greek language, the word that's translated uncleanness means dirt or refuse. Obviously, it's referring to some spiritual dirt or refuse in this context. It is that which is the dirt or refuse that promotes sexual sins. Can I say that again? Uncleanness is the dirt or refuse of the mind and spirit that promotes sexual sin. What would that include? Pornography? Yeah. Racy videos, dirty movies, half-dirty movies? Sexually suggestive talk, immodest apparel. The uncleanness covers a lot. You say, well, how do you get the concept that uncleanness is connected to the promotion of sexual sins? Where do you get that from? That's where we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have committed, who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Do you see the relationship of those words? Uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness. And you'll find in the scriptures that those things typically go together. They're related one to another. And the very fact that they're listed together like that so indicates. Notice that what Paul is describing here is a problem that he was afraid was occurring at Corinth. And that was that he was going to come and find that they weren't close to one another and he couldn't be close to them because they hadn't repented of these things. That's his very concern in writing them these words, that they had not straightened these things out. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, and we'll see another reference to uncleanness. Put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, listed right smack in the middle of these sexual type sins, things that are related to that. Filth and dirt. Uncleanness is not to be named among us. If immodest dress is occurring, that is provocative. Maybe ladies are wearing skirts that are too short or necklines that are too low or whatever it might be. Maybe we get out in public or in recreational activities and don't cover our bodies like we should and cause others to lust, both men and women. This is literally, you know, happened where Christians say, well, let's spend some time together. Let's go out and enjoy some sort of sports activity or recreation or, you know, have a barbecue or something like that. And then, you know, half the people come to whatever the event is and show up half dressed. And the other half of the people who are trying to dress modestly have really uncomfortable feelings about all of that. Is that going to create closeness? Can you see how that's a problem? I think about ungodly TV shows, and there are plenty of those. Movies, there are lots and lots of those. Books, Instagram, a lot of the social media type things, especially those with, which have pictures floating around that are, what are they? Unclean. And we have people that are, you know, participating in those kinds of things. We have people that are trying to stay pure and not participate in those kinds of things. That there's not going to be closeness when that happens. Then, you know, filthy talk that we talked about this morning. So again, if, you know, we spend more time together, but some of us are kind of skunks, stinky, we're not going to be close, spiritually speaking. If we go on and look at Ephesians 5, covetousness is not to be named. Not to be named. It's idolatry, as we read in Colossians 3 and verse 5 also. And yet, we spend time together, and maybe what we see is that we've got Christians who are really putting worldly things first. So much so that they can't even talk about spiritual things. It's all about the next thing that they're going to buy, or, you know, all the material things that they have, and a complete focus on all of that sort of thing. And so they're worldly minded, they're materially minded, and you're here with the person who is spiritually minded, and want to focus on the will of God and the concerns of the saints and the forwarding of the gospel of Christ. And that's what they want to focus on and talk about and be concerned on. And, you know, you're over here on something else all the time because you're materially minded. That's going to create a wedge between you when those worldly things are put first. Later on in the context in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, do not be drunk with wine. And yet maybe you go out to a social gathering somewhere and you see a Christian drinking. Forbidden in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. It's going to create a wedge. Husbands are to love their wives at the end of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Love them like Christ loved the church. We have a lot of husbands here at Eastside. I know that that's their goal. That's how they want to run their families, and that's how they want to relate to their wives. But if someone is not that kind of person, doesn't respect his wife, doesn't love her, again, that creates a wedge. We have, you know, when you have that irresponsible husband that is not being what he should be toward his wife. Wives, on the other hand, are told in Ephesians 5 to submit to and respect their husbands. And when they don't do that, when they're unsubmissive, when they're disrespectful, a wedge is created. Fathers are to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in Ephesians 6, the first few verses. When children go undisciplined and fathers don't show love for them, again, wedges are created and a climate for closeness is undermined. Well, hopefully you see the point. We could go on all night, probably, I guess. The key principle is let's as a family agree to the very best of our ability and with all of our strength and might to do what our Father says. That's it. And whether we're together here or together in situations outside of the assembly, let's agree to do the will of our Father. That will make us family like nothing else will. So tonight, when obedience to our Father fosters this climate for closeness, then when we spend time together, we'll just get closer. When we have that climate, if you look at, you know, what the Hebrew writer really says in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 and 25, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This love and good works is one of the reasons we come together. We can be together and love one another more and stir up one another to do good things when we're drawing near to God, which is what this whole context is about. When we assemble with one another, and we'll stir love. Hospitality, having one another in our homes and spending time together in that way and sharing what we've got with one another, that's going to be a joy. Be hospitable to one another, 1 Peter 4:9, without grumbling, without complaining. And it won't be something to complain or grumble over. It will be a true joy when we're all trying to do the will of God. It's wonderful to have people in your home like that and share your like precious faith and your interest in spiritual things. What a wonderful upbuilding experience. And we'll share our lives as family. You remember again in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. And I love the end of this verse. And singleness of heart. We talk about people with one heart. Singleness of heart. Were they close? It's like they had the same heartbeat. Meeting together, breaking bread from house to house. Gladness, singleness of heart. That's what we're working on here at Eastside. And I know that's what we're working on. I mean we. I can see it. I can see it among you. More and more so all the time. Striving to be. And the beauty of it all is, if we'll really be family to one another the way God intended. Heaven's just going to be great. I long to be with my God. It's interesting we think about, you know, passing from this life. Sometimes we think about, oh, we get to see our loved ones. And I guess maybe I used to think more like that, but for the last few years I've thought more like getting to see my God. That's really what's exciting. But getting to be with you as family, not just now, but in eternity. Isn't that what we want? And we want to feel good about it. I hope we do. If you're not part of the family of God tonight, you can become part of the family by being born into it. And to do that, you believe in Jesus Christ and you're baptized for the remission of your sins. It's a great family. Be a part of it tonight. Always stand and always sing.